Today I would like you to turn your Bible, please, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and let's read verse 10 and 11 together. John says in this epistle, and he writes all about love, but he said, Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the atoning victim. He sent His Son to be the sacrifice for the sins of God's people, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. John says here in this verse, herein is love. Here's a grand display of love. Here is love not in word, but in deed and in truth. Here is love that is shown and explained and demonstrated toward the unlovely. Love at its climax. Love outdoing itself. This is the love of God that's manifested toward guilty sinners in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Herein is love. It's love beyond all degree. Surpasses every standard of human love. Exceeds all earthly expectation of love. And all other love stories must dwindle away into pale insignificance and utter insignificance when we consider this love. Herein is love. He says back in chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. And there then again he says in chapter 4, verse 10, herein is this love demonstrated and explained in the sacrifice of God giving His Son to die for the sins of His people. Now, I want to look at four or five things this morning, and I pray that God will give you ears to hear. The first thing is this. This love of God is to those who do not love Him. Notice the text again. He said, herein is love, not. Now, he begins with a negative. Herein is love. We're going to talk about love. We're not going to talk about the love that we have. Not that we loved God, but rather He loved us. Since Adam's ruin, since Adam's total fall, since our human race has been totally depraved and dead in sin, there never has been a person who has loved God. Not first. We read in Romans 8, the carnal mind is enmity. That is deep-rooted, deep-seated hatred. Men love darkness rather than the light. We read again in Romans 3 that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is not a spark of love to God in our sinful, depraved nature. Jeremiah put it this way, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Instead of loving God, we have rebelled against His every command. That's right. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I hope we understand that God didn't love us because we loved Him. Rather, it's just the opposite. We read in this same chapter, verse 19, we love Him. We love God only because He first loved us. His love to us is eternal and prior to us ever loving Him. Jeremiah put it this way, He's loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness has He drawn us to Himself. Herein is love. God loved the unlovely. God loved the God-hater. God loved the man who was dead in trespasses and in sin, and loved them though we didn't love Him. He says that in John 15, 16. He said, you've not chosen me. You've not loved me. I loved you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. This shows us again that His love to us is free, unmerited, sovereign, and unsought, and eternal love. He loved us because He would. We don't merit or earn God's favor, earn His love. He loved us because God is love. Oh, herein is love, not that we love God. Secondly, notice this. This love to sinners flows from God Almighty. Herein is love, not that we love God, but rather that He loved us. We read in Romans 5, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does God want in loving us? Did you ever think about that? What an insignificant minute little creatures we are in this vast, infinite universe of God. Yet God set His heart upon sinners. Yet God loved His people. Someone said this, it's great to be loved by a dog. However, it's even greater to be loved by a child. And it's the greatest to be loved by a friend. But to be loved of God, what great glory and infinite majesty does this involve? Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Listen to this scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 37 and following. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this love flows out from God. Here in His love, not that we love God. That's not where love is manifested, but in this, He loved us. Love freely, sovereignly flows out from God Almighty to guilty, wretched, miserable sinners. Thirdly is this. This love was unsought. This love was unsought. It says in our text again, here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. This love is unsought. We never sent for Him. We've never sent for God. God sent to us. Where was Adam after he fell? Running from God, hiding from God. God came to him. This human race was content to love darkness rather than light. This fallen human race was content to believe a lie rather than God. This human race, fallen and depraved, are content to seek salvation by work rather than in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord came into this world not that we might seek His love, but rather that His love might seek us. Remember what He said to Zacchaeus, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The shepherd seeks the sheep. Why? Because he loves the sheep. The shepherd seeks out that lost sheep because the shepherd has affection and sovereign love toward that sheep. We read this in Revelation, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. You see, this love was unsought. He sought us out. We read again in Ephesians 2, God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in our sins, shut out. Fourthly, we see this in this text. You with me? Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atoning victim, the sacrifice for our sins. God's love provided the means to deal with our sin problem. Love provided propitiation. He is our sacrifice. He is our atonement. He is our pardon. Now let me ask you an important question. Could God justly save His people from their sin and not deal justly with our sin? Absolutely not. God couldn't pardon sin without complete atonement, expiation, and payment for all the sins of God's sheep. God must demand atonement for sin because He's holy. God is holy, but God Himself also not only demanded atonement, but God Himself, and here's a glorious truth of God's love, God not only demanded atonement, demanded payment for sin, but God Almighty Himself provided the Lamb to take away our sin. We read in this same epistle, First John chapter 3, verse 16, verse 5, let's read that first. We know that He was manifested to take away our sin, and in Him is no sin. He says in 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. My friend, this is love. This is the love of God. God will provide Himself a sacrifice. God will provide Himself a lamb. And my friend, that lamb that He provided is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember this, what God demanded, God provided. God provided that lamb. John the Baptist identified that lamb that day. He said, behold, God's Lamb that takes away our sin. What God demanded, God provided. And my friend, what God provided, God accepted this sacrifice. We read again in Romans chapter 3 that He were justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God had set forth to be the propitiation, the atoning victim, the sin covering through His blood to declare God's righteousness for the remission of sins, that God might be just and justify the ungodly through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who among us would give up his son to pay for the crimes of the enemy, our enemy? We wouldn't, but my friend, God did. We read in Scripture that he died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. We read that he suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. The one who was just and holy, he suffered for the unjust, that we might be brought unto him. He bare our sin in his own body. Here we see the grand display of love. We see God's love displayed in creation. He made all things by the word of his power. We see his love displayed in providence. We know all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to God's purpose. We see his love displayed in God's incarnation. When he took to himself our humanity apart from sin, God Almighty was manifest in the flesh. We see his love displayed in his life. He was tried and tempted and tested in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. But we see here, herein is love, the most glorious display of God's love and grace towards sinners is displayed at Calvary, when God made him to be sin for us, when it pleased God to bruise him and wound him in the room in the stead of God's people. God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. And my friend, it's just not his death. That is an amazing fact itself, that the Son of God died and took our judgment in our place. But consider this. He died under the wrath of God, under God's judgment against sin. Our sin was made and laid, made to be put on him. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, my friend, herein is love. Here's the trophy of love, the display of love, the grand display of God's love and mercy to guilty sinners, that he sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. Lastly, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, we read this, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." What should be the effect of this love, of looking upon this great wonder? If God has loved us so freely, so sacrificially, so infinitely, we ought also to love one another. It shouldn't be difficult for one who has been the object of love to manifest this love to others. It shouldn't be difficult for one who has been freely and fully forgiven to freely forgive others. It shouldn't be difficult for one who has received mercy to show mercy. Our Lord loved us with all our sin. Can we do less than to love others who have sinned against us? I don't think so. Love is the evidence of life. He says in this same epistle, "We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren." Love is the fruit of the Spirit. Herein is love. You see what John is saying in this text? Herein is love. Not that we love God. That's not where it is. But he loved us everlastingly, lovingly, loved us with eternal love, saving love, electing love, dying love, redeeming love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins.